let's get to our guest now, and it is William Lee, Chief Economist at Milken Institute. So, Bill, thanks very much for joining us. The hawkish line, again, was that very premature to be thinking about pausing and a likely higher terminal rate. The dovish line might have been the Fed taking into account the cumulative tightening and the lag effect. So today the market seized on the former and sold down. But I wonder whether or not the cumulative tightening is actually the newer news and whether that might be the enduring read going forward.
Well, Brian, I think today's is a good lesson in Fed speak, how it is that the markets should be listening to the Fed. It seems as though every press conference, the markets are looking for some clue that there's going to be a pivot. And the Fed chorus since Jackson Hole has been consistent. We will not be deterred from our path toward 2%. We're going to keep rates going up. So the questions were really, how fast are you going to do it? Well, right now, Chair Powell has told the markets, don't worry about how fast. We're doing it in a pretty quick manner. Worry now about how high and how long we're going to keep it there. So I think that the press conference today has been really a remarkable press conference. It's trying to shift the discussion away from how fast to how long and how high. Yeah. And I think that's the relevant question to be asked right now.
And Bill, I mean, you will have to see some evidence and they'll have to wait for them because they're data dependent, as they say. So can you see any material difference so far, because of the lag effect, of course? Have you seen any difference to the economy and inflation or the constituent parts from what they've done thus far?
Well, Rich, that's really the key question. I'm glad you asked that. On inflation, absolutely no sign at all, right? I mean, it seems like core inflation, which is what really matters for the Fed, persistently higher and higher every time we get a new release. In fact, it's so much higher that people are surprised that it gets so high. But then when you look at the real economy, the housing sector has clearly been crushed. The consumers now, even though people say they're very strong, it's the weakest part of the GDP release. In fact, GDP would have been zero or negative if it weren't for net exports and inventories. So I think the signs are there that the economy is slowing down, but it's not there in terms of the labor market. And that's where Chair Powell comes back and says, the labor market is very strong. We are still creating jobs at too fast a pace, and we are worried that wages will start to get to entrench the idea that we're going to have to deal with inflation and wage demands are going to start rising. Right now, wages are rising about 5%, and that's okay if we can maintain inflation, go back to, say, 2%. But once wages start to pick up again, that's the danger.
Bill, is there something out there at the moment which really bothers you with the regards to what Jay Powell is doing, or should I say the FOMC is doing, with interest rates? And I'm not talking about the immediate effects, but something that perhaps is an unintended consequence.
I think one of the things that the Fed hasn't taken into account enough are the consequences of their tight policy on the dollar and the dollar's effect on the rest of the world. I think the traditional line from the Fed, and even when I was there as a staffer, the Fed is the U.S. central bank. We will conduct monetary policy according to the needs of the United States, which means full employment and price stability in the United States, full stop. But we are aware that we have a global effects, and we will try to take that into account and minimize its spillover effects. But right now, I think the chair has said very clearly, we are good in our program of getting ahead of inflation faster than other central banks. And because of that, we have a strengthening dollar. And when everyone else catches up with us, the dollar will right itself. I think that attitude is something that is dangerous because the quantitative tightening and the rate increases is depriving the world of liquidity. And the world right now is desperate for liquidity as we are seeing some cracks in financial markets all over the world, including even the United Kingdom.
He acknowledged all the impact of it, but he had this overarching defense, which is it'd be much worse for the global economy if we don't get a handle on inflation in the United States. So that is sort of job one. But, you know, when you look at rates moving up like this, Bill, and, you know, the bulls don't like it, and there are people that are very worried about the impact and all, but those bulls that are hoping for, you know, going back to so-called normal, low rates, low growth, low inflation. That trend actually forced a lot of people, investors and savers, way out the risk curve. and incentivized leverage. Isn't it better, and isn't it easy to argue that a new regime of interest rates, 3 to 5%, is really healthier overall?
Oh, Brian, that's absolutely, you hit it right on the head. The abnormality was zero rates, because when rates are zero and investment managers are trying to decide what project should I invest in, every cat and dog investment looks good. And so you really have a severe misallocation of capital when the rates are at zero. We really need a more normalized rate that really measures the value of money and the value of time. How much do I delay consumption in order to invest in something? And that really is a key element to the efficient allocation of capital, which the global economy has benefited from for the last several decades. When rates are distorted, we get distorted investments, and you get all sorts of cats and dogs being approved when they shouldn't be.
Bill, let's just also have, look, we are talking about the world, and look at the world's second biggest economy, and it doesn't have an inflation problem, but it has an economic growth problem. Yeah. That's what they'd say. And this has also unintended consequences, or very intended ones, because, of course, you seek refuge in foreign policy sometimes.
Well, Rish, China has escaped inflation in part because they've controlled prices, and it's essentially a transfer from producers to consumers, and from the government to consumers, to try to subsidize the low prices. I think one of the things that we learned from this part of Congress is that the new government is going to be very clear about who's welcome into China. Investors who will help develop national champions will be welcome. Investors that will help develop the domestic market will be welcome. But if you come in to just exploit our markets the way you have in the past for hundreds of years, stay out. I think that message is very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Powell had some interesting comments about the lag, that it could be shorter than earlier thought. He said that it used to be the Fed would raise the funds rate, the financial system would absorb it, it would then hit the economy and then hit inflation. But he said now in the last 25 years, the market moves so far before the Fed that might be speeding up the overall impact. What's the main takeaway from that?
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is the new lesson in monetary policy that people have got to learn. Markets have got to realize that the old version of Milton Friedman's long and variable lags, it takes 12 to 18 months. Long. We now have much faster financial markets, but the lags are very short.
Cool. You summed that up nicely. Thanks very much, Bill. We got to go. Unfortunately, we should get you for the whole hour, and we'll have to try to do that sometime. William Lee, Chief Economist at the Milken Institute. I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat. This is Bloomberg.